David Grimm, editor of Science's free online daily news site, Science Now, joins us to talk about the latest science news. Hi, David.
Hey, Rob.
So what stories do you have for us today?
Rob, we're going to talk about how killer whales pick out their favorite fish, how to say danger in bird language, and finally, how fighting fiddler crabs are dishonest with their enemies.
Well, let's start with how killer whales pick out their favorite fish. They like salmon, don't they?
They do. And the killer whales that live off the coast of Washington State have their choice between three different types of salmon: Chinook salmon, coho salmon, and sockeye salmon.
And they can tell the difference between three species?
Well, that's the surprising thing in this study, especially when you realize that these whales are swimming around in really dark and turbulent water. And if any of us caught these three salmon, we wouldn't be able to tell the difference just by eye. But somehow these whales are able to tell the difference without really seeing them.
Through their sonar, I suppose?
Right. It has to do with their sonar. And whales bounce sonar off of objects in the ocean, both to figure out where they're going, but also to locate prey. And a team of researchers wondered, is there something different about these three salmon that maybe causes these sonar waves to bounce back to the whales in different ways that would indicate different types of salmon? And indeed, that's what the researchers found. They took these different species of salmon and they immobilized them and they bounced simulated whale sonar off each of them. And what they found was that the structure of the waves that came back were much different for the Chinook salmon than for the other two types of salmon.
What accounts for that difference?
Well, the researchers think it has to do with the swim bladder, which is the organ in fish that helps them balance themselves in the water. And the swim bladder of the Chinook is about half the size of that in the other fish. And the swim bladder is responsible for 90% of the reflected sound energy. So if you have vast differences in the size of the swim bladder, you're going to get different sonar signals bouncing back to you.
Why are the killer whales seeking out this particular type of fish in the first place?
Well, the Chinook salmon have a lot more fat than the other type of salmon, which means they have a lot more calories. So when whales go after these salmon, they're getting a lot more bang for their bite, as it were.
Is this a strategy that could be used in our own fishing techniques?
Well, researchers are really excited about this because they say that it could really help people who study fish populations figure out how many fish are out there. This is a very laborious task right now, but imagine if you could just send out acoustic signals in the ocean and be able to determine how many of a specific type of fish is out there. But this research also suggests a downside, which is if the whales are really dependent on this particular type of fish, and if you have noise from other vessels that could interfere with this signal, you could be potentially damaging the killer whale's ability to find its food.
Well, from this sonar and noises of the ocean to the screeches of danger by birds, how do you say danger in bird language?
Well, Rob, different birds have different ways of saying danger. And what this study is about is it's about birds that eavesdrop on other birds. Smaller birds in particular have to be very wary of birds like raptors, which hunt them. And if you've got a lot of birds in one area, perhaps one species of bird will scream a certain type of alarm when it sees the raptor coming, and other birds can listen in for that scream or that alarm call, and they don't have to have their own sentries looking for the predator. They know that danger is approaching, and they go and hide as well.
Is that because the danger calls are similar?
Well, that's what researchers were asking in the study. They were wondering, do birds of different species recognize each other's danger calls because they sound so similar to their own danger calls, or are the birds actually learning to understand what these calls mean and not using the similarity as a guide?
So what was the setup? How did they test that?
Well, the researchers took two kinds of birds, fairy wrens and scrub wrens. And both of these are small birds that are hunted by raptors and other large birds of prey. And what they did was they looked at two locations, a location where fairy wrens and scrub wrens live together, and a location where fairy wrens live by themselves. And in both of these populations, they played the alarm call of the scrub wren. And when they play that for the fairy wrens that live with the scrub wrens, the fairy wrens flew for cover. But when they play this alarm call for the fairy wrens that did not live near the scrub wrens, the fairy wrens just ignored it. And this indicates that the fairy wrens are actually learning what the alarm call means. Because if they were just saying, hey, it's similar to my own alarm call, the fairy wrens that lived by themselves would have responded just the same as the fairy wrens that lived with the scrub wrens.
So the learning that birds do isn't confined to learning from their own species.
Yeah, at least for danger calls, birds can really learn to interpret the language of another species.
Well, from the danger of a looming raptor, to the danger of a fellow crab. Why are these crabs fighting in the first place, and how are they being dishonest about it?
Well, fiddler crabs fight to defend their home. When they are near their home, other crabs will come by and sometimes challenge them for the space. But one thing that's interesting about fiddler crabs is that they have one enormous claw that they use to fight. And sometimes they lose this claw during the fight. And if so, they regrow another claw that's the same size, but it's a lot weaker than the original claw.
So they're bluffing about the strength of this newly regrown claw?
Well, that was the question in this study. Would these crabs that have a claw that maybe on some level they know is weaker continue to fight or continue to try to intimidate other crabs? And what this team did was they took a bunch of crabs, some with their original claws and some with the replicated weaker claws, and they put them in situations where they would either have to defend their homes or challenge other crabs for their homes. And what the researchers found is that the crabs with the fake claws, the ones that were looking for new homes to invade, would size up their enemies, and they would look for crabs with smaller claws. And they would challenge these crabs, even though they knew they might lose because their claw was fake, and even though the other crab's claw was smaller, it was real. They continued to challenge these crabs, even though in a fight, they would probably lose. And a lot of the time, the bluff worked, and these crabs with the smaller claws moved away. Now, the researchers also found that the crabs that were defending their homes that had these new weak claws would still try to bluff their way out of a fight if another crab tried to take its home.
Well, I would suppose that the crabs who hadn't lost their claws in the first place would also be sizing up potential competitors?
Well, there were differences in individuals in both cases, but the researchers are convinced that there is actually dishonesty going on. And now the question is this dishonesty something that's hardwired, or is it something that just happens on a case-by-case basis? And that's something these researchers plan to investigate next.
Okay, well, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Rob.
So what other stories are you looking into for Science Now?
Well, Rob, we're looking to stories about how bleach kills bacteria, how flowers can swap genes to evolve, and finally, how the mineral kingdom has co-evolved with life. So be sure to check out the site.
David Grimm is the editor of Science Now, the free online daily news site of science. You can catch up on the latest science news at sciencenow.sciencemag.org.